Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air. Bob Getty, Andrew Abbedy. We're in the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. Glad you're with us. On a Wednesday afternoon, opening segment of the show sponsored as it is every day by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, which is a great place to have dinner tonight and a great place to cater. Well, this weekend's baseball games would be a great example. Dickey's does a great job with catering. They can handle catering for every affair, whether it be large or small. Appreciate all they do. We visit with our good friend and baseball coach Travis Creel every Wednesday. And, Coach, glad to have you back on the show. Golden Eagles go to the coast last night, drop an 8-5 decision to Nichols. I know a disappointing night for the fans that were there and for the team, but just seems to be one of those midweek games that a lot of teams struggle with, and we're going to talk to you about that a little later. But to kind of summarize the game last night, four errors, unusual for the Golden Eagles, left the bases loaded late in the game. Those sorts of things are a difference in a game this close, correct?
Yeah, for sure. You just really, honestly, didn't do any facet of the game good enough last night. And, you know, when you don't play well, you know, offensively, the first three innings were very, very stale. I mean, I thought we pitched the ball okay, probably a little below average, and then obviously making four errors. So, you know, you need to do two of those three things well to win a game, and I don't really think we did any of them last night.
I hear you and Coach Oz and other coaches talk about you play the game, you don't play the opponent. Is that an example of that last night, that you just don't compete against the game of baseball the way you want to see your guys do?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think, and I think this team's done a really good job this year of coming out every day with energy and effort. And I think last night was the same. You know, it was a great crowd in Biloxi. It was a great atmosphere. And, you know, for whatever reason, we just played really poorly, unfortunately. So, you know, one game out of 56, we got to bounce back, and, you know, got South Alabama, big conference series this weekend.
Travis, I think my question is, you know, to kind of get with the errors, third base kind of struggled right there with Seth Smith. I know you guys have been interchangeable. I mean, how do you kind of, I guess, analyze that moving forward?
Yeah, you know, you wish someone would really separate themselves. And, you know, I think throughout the season they both played fine, especially offensively. You're talking about, you know, your nine-hole hitter, 7, 8, 9-hole hitter type guy. But, yeah, I mean, that's a position we're going to have to make. You know, defense is definitely a priority. And to be honest with you, it's day-to-day. You know, some days Dre's better, some days Seth's better. And it's the same with the plate. So, that's probably the toughest position on the field, Andrew, of what we're trying to figure out. I know Sal's got a couple left-handed arms on the weekend, so I imagine you'll see Dre a good bit this weekend as well. So, you know, just wish somebody would get in there and just bring a little bit, you know, a little bit more consistency and just kind of win that job outright.
Is it just gut feeling at this point, or are you trying to play every analytic you can into it?
A little bit of both. You know, obviously, we came off this weekend. Seth had played really well, man. He had really good at bats, had two hits on Sunday. Nichols starter, definitely screams left-handed hitter. And they also had those two lefties in the bullpen who we knew they would be going to. So that's probably or excuse me, had the two lefties in the bullpen who we weren't really, we knew we were going to go to Dre at that time, which we did. So, yeah, it is trying to play the hot hand, and it's tough right now. But, I'm confident in both those guys. It's just, you kind of wish someone would just take the bull by the horns and win it outright.
And then I know it's more of a pitching – it is a pitching question, and that's not quite your realm, but I wanted to ask of going to Kobe Allen right there at the end. I know you guys were trailing by three, but not that you want to wave the white flag, but you – I mean, why not give him the rest on Wednesday or yesterday?
It was his bullpen day anyway, so he needed to give him a mound. He hadn't pitched since Friday. And then, it was going to be one inning max for him. And, we thought we had a really good chance, honestly, that, we're still in the game. I think if it was a bigger score, we probably wouldn't have, but – we got the time to run to the plate there in the ninth. Really needed to keep it, at that point in the game. And I really wanted, no matter the score, to be sure he touched the rubber for one inning last night, just to stay sharp.
And then to just not be a Debbie Downer. At least Matthew Russo had a very productive night.
Yeah, Russo looked good. We had a couple guys swing the bats good, man. It wasn't a great day to hit. We hit some balls pretty hard that are probably homers on different days, but that is what it is. They hit more ground balls. They got through holes, and we hit more balls in the air that got caught up by the wind. So, just one of those nights where, offensively, just early on especially, the first three innings just weren't what we wanted to do. And, the fourth through the ninth, I thought we put together much better at bats. And obviously, Russo swung the bat really well.
Travis, I think a positive story has been this return of Chandler Best. He's come in two situations with, last night, runners at second and third, and I think no outs. And then over the weekend, bases loaded, no outs. And he gets you out of that. He seems healthy again. And I was thinking to myself last night, what a shot in the arm it would be to get a left-handed reliever that you could really depend on to come in, much like you can depend on Kobe Allen. And Chandler Best could be that guy. Is that a correct assumption?
Yeah, I think so. And you're right, it's huge. Because I think if there's one area where, we're a little thin right now, it's in the bullpen. So, with Chandler being hurt, McCarty not quite being back from his injury fully, from a sharpness standpoint, he feels good, but he's still not quite as sharp. And, we need some guys to step up in that bullpen. I think if we do, we've gotten really quality starts on the weekend. And, if we get a couple more guys to step up in the bullpen, we could really shorten these games, especially in the conference series.
And speaking of pitching, while we're there, you brought Ock in as well last night. He goes an inning and two-thirds and didn't walk anybody. And I know that had been the problem with him his last couple outings. But overall, I guess you're happy to see him come in and face a number of batters and not give up a free pass.
Yeah, for sure. And, I think he's another key to this, a big key to this thing. We need Ock to – he's so talented. When he's throwing the ball over the plate, it's really hard to hit. So, if he doesn't, shoot himself in the foot with freebies, it's really hard to score on him because it's hard to string together two or three hits in one inning against him. So, yeah, him and Chandler, really, really big keys to – this team and this season for sure.
Travis, I know probably to the more in tune baseball fan, some people can just say, it's baseball, bad night's going to happen. And I think there is truth to that. But I'm assuming you're not seeing it that way or not entirely. I mean, how do you kind of blend the fact of not putting too much pressure, but at the same time trying to keep the edge sharp, if that makes sense for your team?
Yeah, it's a fine line. And no, I'm definitely not saying it's baseball because that's a game we need to win. I challenge the hitters. I think we just gave away from an offensive standpoint. I'm not going to touch on the pitching, but from an offensive standpoint, just coming out with a sense of urgency early. I thought we were really locked it in the fourth inning. We go single, homer, single, and then we had some really good at-bats throughout the rest of the game, but we really gave away those first nine outs against a starter that we shouldn't be giving away those nine outs to. So, yeah, I think that's the key. We have a team that's old, they're experienced, they play hard, they do things right. For whatever reason, last night there was just a a slow start, and we just can't let that happen. We got to – you only get 27 outs in the game. That's not enough to be giving any away. So, just, you know, maybe, you know, maybe this is a good thing. You know, we always talk about learning from each chapter of our story, and there's definitely something to take from last night that, hey, don't matter who you're playing the rest of this year, you can be beat. So you better come out with a sense of urgency and be ready to play from the get-go.
Just a few seconds left in this segment. We're going to ask you to hold over if you don't mind. But how much of it is human nature? And as a coach, how much of that do you have to fight with young people that, you know, everybody knows that going into the game, everyone assumed Southern Miss was going to win the game, a far better team, ranked 13th in the country. How much of that is human nature that you have to fight against with players that they may let their guard down a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is human nature. I think human nature, a lot of times, you know, it's just to kind of show up and be average. And that's why, you know, we've been special throughout the years is because we do things differently. And that starts with our leadership and, you know, our veteran presence. And like I said, man, these guys have shown up every game this season with intensity and focus. And for whatever reason, last night just didn't happen, especially early in the game.
Well, five ranked teams went down last night to opponents that, again, on paper, you would have thought would have been pretty easy matchups. We're going to talk to Coach Creel about that phenomenon in college baseball next as the Super Talk Eagle Hour rolls along.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. This segment sponsored as it is every day by Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street, campusbookmart.net. Don't forget about MCS Home Center out in Bellevue. It's brand new, beautiful, big facility. Everything for your home, your garden, your lawn. They got it all at MCS Home Center in Bellevue, Highway 98 West, just outside of town. We'll say hello to Hank Lott and all those great local folks now running and operating MCS Home Center. Proud to have them as part of the Eagle Hour family. All right, Golden Eagles not the only ranked team to get upset last night. Let me run down these scores real quick. Wofford beats number 22 Troy 14-3. Number 19 Louisville falls to Cincinnati 12-2. Number 17 Dallas Baptist falls to Abilene Christian 7-1. Southern Miss, of course, lost to Nicholls State. And here's the shocker. Number 2, Arkansas, gives up 14 runs to Missouri State. And the Razorbacks lose 14-13. It was just last week that Andrew listed off, I don't know, five or six ranked teams in the midweek that were beaten, including the number one team at the time, Tennessee. So we bring Coach Travis Creel back on the show. And all right, Coach, obviously during the weeknights, teams like yours and the ones we just mentioned obviously are not throwing your Friday and Saturday and Sunday starters, but you're still out there. You're playing baseball, and every week we just go down this list of ranked teams who lose midweek games to teams that on paper you would think, well, that could never happen. What is the secret there, Coach? What is different about midweek baseball in the world of college baseball?
Well, I think the main thing is very, very few teams have a starter going into the fifth inning on a Tuesday. It's rare. Most teams are piecing that together. You're rolling out six or seven arms. And, you know, if one or two, you know, have a really bad inning, things can get away from you. So, I don't know. It's a tough question to answer. I do think the depth of the pitching plays a lot into it. You know, all the guys who obviously your Friday, Saturday, Sunday starters aren't throwing, then all the bullpen arms that threw too much on Sunday or even Saturday, they're not available either. So just it's kind of a you know, middle of the pack pitching you know, battle most of the time. So that'd be my answer, I guess.
Do you think this kind of goes back to the human nature thing? Ranked teams, and they come in a midweek game and they looking at the opponent and to perhaps they just let down a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think that could certainly be a possibility. You know, I like to think our guys don't think that way. But, yeah, I think you certainly see a lot of teams, you know, play down their competition a lot, right? So, you know, they get up. If they're playing a really highly ranked team, they're really excited, or they're kind of flat when they're playing, you know, a bad team on paper. Again, I like to think we don't play that way, but that's definitely a good way to put it on the midweek as well, especially with, you know, Missouri State, like you said, going to Fayetteville and putting up 14 runs. So, yeah, I think it's a combination of those two things.
Travis, would you have bet any amount of money last night that Missouri State could go to Fayetteville, Arkansas, and score 14 runs on the Arkansas Razorback?
Careful, Travis. You can't bet.
I cannot bet, but I would not bet anyway. No, definitely not. I could see them going in and winning just because, you know, it's a solid program and baseball, you know, funny things happen. Like you said, East Tennessee beat Tennessee last week. But, yeah, going into Fayetteville and putting up 14, that don't happen very much. That was pretty wild to see.
Personally, I think, you know, I think it's misconstrued that March Madness only applies to basketball. Mm-hmm. It's very obvious
that it can apply to baseball.
It can apply
too,
to baseball, right? Very easily.
Yeah, maybe that's a little bleed over.
I would like basketball. To add a score that you missed is Coastal beats number 5 Clemson last night, which I wanted to ask you, Travis, about that. You guys don't play Coastal this year. And, you know, looking at the standings, it was like, okay, you kind of need Troy to at least take the series against Coastal because you don't get the chance to play them. I mean, what's kind of your take of not getting to play the Chanticleers this year?
Oh, I hate it. I hate it. But it is what it is. I don't really, if I'm being honest with you, I don't know how they make those schedules. They make them a couple of years in advance, and I think they do some type of RPI formula. I'm not exactly sure. But, yeah, I hate it. One, because, you know, obviously they're a great opponent, and they help the RPI stuff. But also, whether they're playing us here, it's awesome, and their facility and fan base is awesome too. So it's just a fun series to play.
Is it frustrating that you can't, like, you – I mean, it could very well could come down to you two teams and you won't play. You might need somebody's help, or they might need somebody else's help.
Yeah, and that's just kind of how it goes. Like last year, Lafayette, I think they beat us by 2 games, and their crossovers were much easier on paper than our crossovers. But it kind of is what it is. I mean, it's kind of luck of the draw, so it's nothing really us or Coastal can control, or whoever it'd be. But yeah, it's part of being in a league with more than 10 teams, because there's only 10 conference league, so it is what it is.
Well, to talk about your upcoming league opponent, you got South Al. When they thumped Ole Miss a few weeks ago, everybody was like, uh-oh, the Jaguars must be back. And since then, they have plummeted if they were a stock. I mean, what have you kind of seen from them?
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of their players really well from the, you know, the recruiting circuit, and we recruit a lot of the same guys. And the talent's there. You'll see that. They're very talented. For whatever reason, the past, I guess, 7 games, they've really played, you know, not their best. So they're talented. It's a rivalry. They're going to come in here ready to play. And, you know, hopefully, especially after last night, the way we performed, that our guys have a little – chip on their shoulder and ready to come out here and compete, and looking forward to a great series.
Okay, so we asked you a question with an impossible answer. How did Arkansas score, give up 14 runs? Here's another one for you. Your RPI was really not badly hurt last night after that loss. I think it fell 4 or 5 spots, but you're still way up there in the RPI. Can you, in the last 3 minutes that are left in the segment, fully explain the RPI system to all of us, Coach?
No, I can't. I'll try out. Yeah, you know, these games, it's weird because, you know, early on, you know, we have 2 wins against the SEC and 2 wins against TCU, and their RPIs are, and if I'm being honest with you, I don't look at it, so I'm, but I'm guessing this is how it's gone in the past. Their RPIs, SEC's RPIs always get much better and better and better as they play conference play because they're playing really, really high-ranked RPI teams. So even though, you know, we maybe not have shot up from winning those 4 games early, I think as the season goes on, those games will be more and more important. So it's a crazy system. It gives me anxiety. I don't look at it. So I just coach as hard as I can and come out here and try to win every game and let kind of let the chips fall where they may.
If you could get rid of RPI, what is there a system that you would prefer?
You know, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't think there's ever a scenario where more than 10 teams in a league should be in the NCAA tournament. I think that's silly. If you don't come in the top 10 in your league, I mean, tough luck. You're not going to the postseason. So, obviously, the SEC mainly, you know, really, really is the only league that gets more than 10. But, yeah, I just don't know. I don't know the system. I love how all the conference tournament champions get in. I do think baseball, it seems like, has more group of 5 teams than basketball. Andrew, you may have the answer to that, that usually get in. So I don't know, man. I don't know the right answer for that. Obviously, we've done pretty well with the RPI system. So, yeah, and that benefits us because we play a tough non-conference schedule. I mean, I would imagine at TCU, UNT, Wilmington, La Tech, I mean, I don't think any teams have played a tougher non-conference record or schedule. So that obviously is beneficial for us when it comes to all that stuff.
I do not know the answer to that, but I do know it's the first time in quite a while that not a single mid-major team has made it to, I think, the Sweet 16 in March Madness. And, boy, it would not be fun baseball if that were the case if regionals.
No.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Sun Belt was a one-bid league this year in basketball.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I know we were in the Conference USA. We were typically a one-bid league. So that's something, you know, just off the, you know, off my head, you know, last year we were a 4-bid league. Conference USA was a 2-bid league. So there's 6 right there. So I don't know. I don't know if there's a right answer for that. But it's a weird deal. I just don't know how it works. And I don't think anybody does. Just play hard competition and win games and let, you know, kind of let everything else happen.
Yeah, none of us know.
Well, I do know the rich get richer in the college sports realm. That seems to be the case a lot.
I think that's going to always be. Hey, Coach, we got a lot of baseball left to play. Let's get back on it Friday night. We'll look forward to having you back on the show with us next week.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys.
All right. Always appreciate you. Travis Krill, everybody. The world hadn't ended, Andrew. There's baseball coming Friday night.
The sun will come out tomorrow.
Yeah. And we'll talk about it a little more later in the show, but a big softball game here in town tonight, right?
Sellout.
Really?
Sellout crowd. Last sellout crowd, I believe, was when they hosted No. 3 Alabama. They're hosting, I think, state is 17 in the country. I don't know which poll is the official poll. I think it's D1 softball, but I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Point being, they're a top 20 team in state rivalry, and it would be a very nice win if Southern Miss softball could pull it out.
You know, we're lucky to live where there's so much good Division I college athletics right here, right down the street, man. It's really cool, I think.
Yeah, well, yeah, for sure.
All right, big basketball news conference tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit about that and some other Southern Miss-related stuff next.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, as always, we want to thank Travis Creel for joining us every Wednesday. Enjoy those conversations with Coach, and we appreciate him coming on. Hey, if you want to stay informed, you can do the Pine Belt News. That's your go-to source for news and sports coverage in the Hattiesburg area. You could also explore their other publications, Signature Magazine. You can get the Pine Belt News delivered to your home for just $35 a year or $55 annually if you live outside of Forest or Lamar counties. And you can visit the Pine Belt News on all social media platforms as well, including their website at hubcityspokes.com. Also, want to remind you about our podcast, the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. You can hear it every day on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube. You can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour, and our producer and operations manager gets it up. Michael Morgans gets it up, 15, 20 minutes after we go off the air every day. So check us out, Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. All right, Andrew, a couple things. We'll talk about basketball here in a second, but let's briefly go back to tonight's game. Big opportunity for Southern Miss softball. We had a player on the team on the show yesterday, and competitive team. I give them a fighting chance tonight.
I really like what Natalie Poole has put together with this roster, because, you know, she has had such an uphill climb. I've said it before. You know, year one, she's hired in August. Can't add players to her roster. She's stuck with 17 players, which is insane. Year two, it was all about, okay, I just need bodies on this team. So it's more of getting whoever she can. So this is the first year she's really begun to craft the team. And I got to tell you, the true freshmen she has brought in, they're really good, and I hope they can keep this core together and they don't get poached. Kayla Gardenia, who's probably going to be their next ace of the next 3-4 years if they can keep her around. Carrie Green in the outfield, she's really good. You know, Natalie Harrington is coming around from Pearl River, not a true freshman. I mean, the list goes on. The Christian twin sisters are great. Hannah Christian has been probably one of the best bats in the lineup all year. She's the leadoff hitter. Her sister Olivia is coming around in the circle. Maddie Weeks is tearing it up. She was a Colin superstar. So she's hit the JUCOs the right way with finding some of their top players and getting them to Southern Miss. And at the same time, I mean, she's been hitting the high schools in Mississippi hard. And, you know, State and Ole Miss, yeah, they go after some of the top players, but, man, it's Southern Miss's pickings unless they're going up against the JUCOs. And, you know, she's crafting it, and I hope they can keep this core because they have a chance to be good down the road. They've won 12 of their last 17. You know, they drop a game against Troy, and frankly, I thought they were going to sweep it. I went to the game on Sunday, and, you know, the first two games, if you watched it, and I was keeping up with it and watching it, they were in control the whole time. And even though the scores say they were close, they never took their foot off the gas. And then Sunday, Troy came out. They did what they had to do to salvage the series. But, you know, I do think part of that is it's a team. It's a program that needs to learn how to win. I think that's probably one of their biggest critiques. But, man, they've been in situations where they find themselves, you know, giving up bad runs, and they've answered back. And I haven't seen that from this program the last couple of years where they put up a fight at the end. And, you know, I'm kind of excited to see what they do against Mississippi State. I suspect they'll pitch Jaina Lee and Gardenia. They've been a great 1-2 combo for these top 25 matchups. And if their bats can come around, which, look, State can do, they can hit it and pitch it. I mean, they're a good team. Mm-hmm. They got a girl hitting 5-10 in 33 games. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to play their best game tonight. It's not the end of the world if they lose. I mean, it's all about conference at this point. But I think they can, if they play their best ball, they can be in it, and I think if they're playing their best ball by the end of the year, there's no reason that they won't have a shot to win the Sun Belt.
We talk a lot about the advantages the Power Four now have over everybody when it comes to resources in football and basketball and even baseball. Does that translate to women's sports as well? Big advantage for Mississippi State softball over what Natalie Poole has to battle to build her program.
I don't – maybe a little, but I don't think it's – as lucrative as it is in baseball, men's basketball, heck, even women's basketball. Women's basketball has exploded. I don't think, yes, it's there, but I don't think you've had to do that because what few really good players, not to knock people of the past,
they haven't gotten poached at Southern Miss. Now, of course, it's still a brave new world. Mm-hmm. And when you have really good true freshmen playing, we haven't seen it. We'll kind of learn the truth at this next off season. But, you know, so far from what I've seen, the rich have stayed rich. The SEC, I know everybody complains about them in basketball and baseball, but they've been getting their entire conference in the tournament the last 7 years. I mean, it's just and rightfully. I mean, they're the have been. I thought Ole Miss getting in last year was questionable, but I mean, it's tough, but they can. I mean, the Sun Belt is not a bad. I mean, it's a three-bid league. I mean, it's kind of not as dominant as baseball, but it's right there. It's a respected league.
All right, switch gears. Now, I got a press conference tomorrow to introduce the new women's basketball coach, and it would seem to me that. Well, I got two questions about that. It seems to me that her number one task would be to get the conference freshman of the year to stick around. She's entered the portal and could be on her way elsewhere. And will she? Do you have any sources, information to give us any indication? Are we gonna see, obviously on a smaller scale, but are we gonna see the same thing we saw with football, where the majority of the team comes with the new coach?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's basically the industry standard when you hire a sitting head coach.
I guess so now, huh?
So I would suspect they've got three or four girls that they want to bring from ULM. I did hear she met with Trinity Rowe as well as the rest of the team earlier this week. Mm-hmm. Haven't seen Trinity say she's coming back, so I couldn't tell you the status of it. But, you know, they've kept the majority of their returning players, although I'm sure we'll see the roster probably begin to flip very soon by the end of the week. So I don't know. I really don't know what to expect from what they have to build with or where they start, because Southern Miss was going to lose a lot of key pieces this year anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they can go a lot of different directions.
Well, how about this? There have been several players in the last 2 years that have left the Southern Miss program to go play for Missy Vilderbeck.
But they really haven't played that much yet.
Are they coming back to Southern Miss?
No, I think they're all their eligibility's done. The only one that would be, quote, air quotes, coming back is Lauren Gross, who became the director of ops at ULM. I suspect she'll be on the staff in some capacity. And she was a good player at Southern Miss. Mm-hmm. She was out of all of the ULM player, Southern Miss transfers to ULM, she had the best run of them all, I'd say. But in terms of that, no, that's not on the court. Yeah.
Okay, but we do hear that she's got three or four that will likely be coming with her, correct?
Yeah, or she's trying to get them here. Yeah. We'll see what happens. But I ask you, Bob, what do you think of this coaching hire? You always ask me, what's my opinion? What's your take?
Well,
give me a grade.
I think she's the fan favorite. Now, I don't know how important that is. I think she's the fan favorite. I mean, I think if you go, you know, Andrew, if you take out this past year and look at her coaching record up until this past year, it was nothing but straight up. Now, she had a kind of a rough year this year, right?
Yeah, they took steps back. I mean, they lost pieces. They had some players that they couldn't get on the court this year. You know, I would grade it a B. And I don't want to sound like I'm disrespecting Missy, because I that's the last thing I want to be doing. But let's start with the good things about her, right?
All right.
She's the fan favorite. She's played here. She's essentially from the area. She's coached here on the JUCO and high school level. Man, if she does some winning at Southern Miss, the interest in the women's basketball program in the Hattiesburg area will be the highest it's possibly ever been.
No question.
There's that big if. My question, though, is what does recruiting look like for her? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that because, you know, year one for her at ULM was a lot of pieces from her Jones College team. That was a very good team. And year two, they fell off for a variety of reasons. So I don't know what year three of recruiting for her looks like. What caliber player can they bring in? I mean, it's more of, you know, we got to see what she can do. And I just don't know what that looks like. And, you know, with the transfer portal, it's going to be in some ways tougher and easier. I just don't know what her recruiting footprint's going to be. Is it going to be ultra Mississippi? Is it in the South? I mean, where does she go? What are her connections? That's probably my biggest critique just because she hasn't been a D1 coach very long.
Mm-hmm. Well, right now there's a lot of optimism, sort of like, you know, there's a lot that think football could win the NFC East next year.
Well, I'll say this, and this would have been for any coach who had gotten the women's basketball job. Going to be a tough year next year, unless they can pull in some big-time transfers, which, you know, that's probably a big ask even for the men, right? They're going to need a year or two.
Which is a subject we'll get on later this week, perhaps. We're hearing nothing from the men's basketball program. It's like radio silence.
Yeah, I think they're assessing the staff. I think it's not always a bad thing to kind of, you know, start from nothing, right? I did see Jose Benitez went into the portal, although he was a grad transfer. So
might be a good time to get Coach Ladner on, see what's going on there.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd love to talk about it.
We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better, faster.
The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, look for a great place to eat lunch tomorrow. I'll suggest to you 4th Street Bar and Grill. Man, they have working man's lunches there. They're always hearty, big plates of food, cold Southern iced tea. Can't go wrong. Lunch, just $11, and that includes tax and everything. At 4th Street Bar and Grill, right there in the shadow of the Rock, and then you can go right downtown to buy you a Genesis from Genesis of Hattiesburg. With all the money you'll save eating lunch at the 4th Street Bar and Grill, Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest on the road, and their showroom is fine. Genesis of Hattiesburg, we appreciate all they do. Andrew and I talking during the break. Another reason we like you around here, Andrew, is you're a dog lover like all of us, and we were talking about how special dogs are in our life, and then you're showing me pictures of your dog, who is one spoiled wiener dog.
Yeah, he's a – I like to call him a weirdo. Is anybody who knows him, like, he's a weirdo. He goes drinking with me. It's great. Like, I take him to the keg all the time. So, and what people don't realize, like, he's the assistant sports editor of the paper, and he knows all of the dirty secrets of Hattiesburg.
Because he's heard them all.
Oh, he's right there with me.
He's like, been in the room when they're divulged.
He's been in the room. We've done consulting. I've taken him on interviews before.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, now I give people heads ups, but
yeah. Now you got to bring him up here and introduce us to him.
You're going to hear him bark the entire show.
Does he like the bark? We'll have to bring him and the Pearl Girl at the same time. They can play out here in the lobby, right?
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. All right, Andrew.
News and notes.
What you got?
Arkansas State men's basketball coach Brian Hogson leaving for the University of South Florida.
Money, money, money. Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, good thing for Southern Miss fans, given that they've run the table this past year.
I watched them here. They were really good, well coached basketball team, no doubt.
I would think people are going to be relieved. I think that's the big thing right now. Men's basketball coaching, I guess the coaching circle anyway, or cycle. Sorry, this area now has 8 coaching changes in just Lamar and Forrest, and I'm tired of it already.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, you know, and we were talking about Missy Bilderbach. Well, her husband has now come back as the football coach at Columbia.
Yeah, and they're who was also Chip's DC at Columbia. He stuck around. Bo Russum is now the head coach at Forest County Agricultural.
Well, good for him. And I saw some video of the kids in Columbia, and they were some kind of pumped up. They must have really liked this man when he was here coaching.
Well, they did do a lot of winning. I mean, they made two state titles, won one. So, sure, why not?
So, is this timing all a strange coincidence?
Well, the coach had taken over, took the job at Brandon. So, I mean, it's not like he was run out of town necessarily. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's taking a pretty good, well-paying job. But, you know, some things work out for people.
Well, it worked out for that family, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, of course.
All right, so they're going to introduce her tomorrow at 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock?
3 o'clock yeah. on ESPN Plus, so you can watch it. There's a
what's not on ESPN Plus?
It's the worldwide something of sports.
Message to the people down on the Gulf Coast. They've got a beautiful facility, but learn how to sync your audio and video together.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Because last night, the audio was ahead of the video.
I had heard. Right. I didn't see this myself. I was covering some games myself.
Because the pitcher would just be letting go of the ball, and you'd hear the bat hit the ball.
You don't like to watch games like that, Bob?
No, it was pretty distracting. And no. I wasn't in a good mood during most of the game as well. You can probably
imagine
why.
Well, then you probably ended up muting it anyway. So
I wanted to mute the whole thing, but I hung in to the very end, and, you know, it was unfortunate. But we move on. And South Alabama here this weekend, and like you point out, they haven't been playing well, but they're South Alabama, and there's something about South Alabama and Southern Miss that makes you nervous, doesn't it?
I think if you're a fan, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, you'd like for them to sweep, win the series is the ideal.
That's it.
But truthfully, I think, you know, you got South and Marshall next weekend, and after that, the gauntlet turns on, and
gauntlet too.
Yeah, I mean, they got to get as many early conference wins as possible. Bottom line.
But come on, Andrew, 18-7, and we looked at that schedule a lot when it first came out, and I think if you'd have told us you can get through this initial gauntlet at 18-7, you'd have thought, well, that's pretty good.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're pretty good. Very much in the conversation to do everything that they would like to do.
Right, and one game did not really make that big a difference. All right, so big game here in town tonight, and hope that the Lady Eagles could. Boy, that'd be a big win for them.
Yeah, I'll be there. You know, they've beaten Ole Miss this year. So
I was about to say that would be.
They could win the cup. You know, which would, I think, do light years for bragging rights.
Right, no question about it. Well, we appreciate everybody tuning in every day, and we'll have some sound bites, I'm sure, from the press conference tomorrow with the new basketball coach the following day. Look forward to another great show tomorrow and spending some time with you talking about Southern Miss athletics. Until then, Southern Miss to the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.